You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
So, let me tell you a story. Young man, 21 years old, with his brother, 16 years old, they walk into a liquor store. Sounds like a joke, right? They walk into a liquor store. It's around Christmas time. They're buying the booze for the family celebration over the holiday period. Pretty typical, pretty standard. They get in there, and the older brother picks up two bottles of wine and gives them to his younger brother, 16, while he goes to the back of the store to get some LCBO beer, which is usually at the back of the store. They both walk to the front. The older brother, 21, legally entitled to buy alcohol, of course, he's over 19, and his 16-year-old brother. 16-year-old brother plunks the two bottles of wine that he had been carrying on the counter, and then the discussion went a little like this. Oh, well, you can't do that. You're supplying booze to your underage brother. And an argument ensues. No, I'm not. We're simply taking it home. He was only carrying it to the front of the store because I had my hands full carrying the beer. Nope, no way. I'm sorry, can't serve you. You're going to have to leave. They go outside the store. They call home. Mom comes by in about 10 minutes. They've been hanging around outside the LCBO. Then they come back in with the mom. The mom goes, gets the stuff, brings it up to the counter. And by now, of course, the young man and his younger brother have been noticed by everybody in the store. They come up to the counter. The mom says, okay, I want to buy this stuff. And the clerk says, nope, can't do it. You're going to give it to the 16-year-old. And she says, no, I'm legally entitled to, I'm sorry, no, you cannot be served. And they go, they're told to leave. And so they go home. Much later, the dad simply comes to the store all by himself, walks in, buys what they need, the wine and the beer, pays for it, walks out of the store. Now that, to us, provoked a number of questions, and we knew who to go to get some answers. That's Heather McGregor. She's the LCBO Media Relations Coordinator, and she joins us on the line now. Hi, Heather.
Morning, Dale. How are you?
I'm fine. Is that an unusual story, or do you hear it from time to time?
We do hear it from time to time.
Okay.
And it sounds like what you're describing is what we would identify as a second-party purchase.
Yeah, that's what you call it, right?
And in those cases, staff are not allowed to make the sale. It is against the law. And the penalties for doing that are quite heavy.
Heavy for the clerk and for the person,
that's
right?
That's right. The organization can be charged up to $500,000. And the cashier who made the sale can be charged $200,000 at most and face up to a year in prison. So, you know, this is quite serious. And
I think people understand the principle involved here. You can't be buying booze for somebody underage. And in the old days, of course, young kids hung around the beer store to get some adult to go in and buy it on their behalf.
Sure.
You know, everybody knows that old-time game. But does that mean in a case like this that maybe you'd be smarter not to shop in the LCBO with any of your children who happen to be underage?
Well, it means that you need to bring a certain level of awareness, and people are sometimes not aware of that law, which does say no person under 19 years of age shall have, consume, attempt to purchase, or otherwise obtain liquor.
Oh, but everybody knows that rule.
So, yeah. But if you're shopping with a child who is underage, the law that they not handle the liquor, that you not talk to them about it, and you know, certainly people need to be aware of that. So,
let me break it down a bit so I can understand it. So the underage person should not, as you say, handle the liquor.
That's right.
Okay, because that would be a red flag to the clerk.
Sure, because in some cases, a parent might come in with their son or daughter who might be 17 or 18. And have said to the child in advance, you know, I'll go in and buy it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, we need to be clear about what's happening there, and we need to make sure people are aware that we cannot make that sale.
It's against the law for you, of course.
The cash, and the child puts the item down on the counter, counter, you know, they need to be able to provide identification to substantiate the fact that they are 19.
But even if, say, for example, and let me give you a what if the same 16-year-old is there with, say, the 21-year-old, and the 21-year-old handles all the booze, puts it on the counter, is the clerk still charged with the responsibility of saying to himself, wait a minute, this guy's buying the booze for the underage kid?
Yeah, so Daryl, there are triggers that we look for.
Yeah.
One of which is, you know, have staff overheard a person of 19 years or older talking to a minor about the purchase?
Right, right.
Should we buy this beer? Should we buy this type of vodka? Mm-hmm. So that's a trigger. Another one is, you know, do you see money being exchanged for product?
Well, that'd be pretty dumb to do that
store. I think you'd be surprised.
Really?
another trigger is the minor bringing the items to the cash and not being able to produce
that's,
ID.
That's
so
the biggest red flag, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, if the 16-year-old hadn't touched the liquor, there had not been a conversation, my guess is that it would not have provoked staff to decline the sale.
Yeah.
You know, because the other gentleman in question had ID to support his age being over 19.
Yeah, he was okay, but it's just that
So part of the process here is obviously educating people about what the law is. And, you know, we are taking steps to do that. There is signage now at points of sale. This happened probably early December, just before the holidays, that says, you know, responsibility starts here, and that it's just basically educating people that we have the right to refuse the sale of alcohol if it appears it's being sold to a minor. And, you know, the line that we like to use, or that our staff like to use, is that it's not personal, it's the law.
Is that the Check 25 program you're talking about?
The Check 25 is different. This is a separate signage. It's a separate sign, and it's there to educate people about, look, you know, if it appears that you're buying for someone who's underage, personal, it's the law.
Okay.
The Check 25 is another program that we use to verify age, where any time staff are approached by someone who appears to be under 25, they're going to ask for ID.
Yeah.
So anybody who is in that age group can expect, you know, if I go into the LCBO and I want to purchase alcohol and I'm under 25, I need to have ID.
But the smart thing to do, and what we can take away from all of this maybe, is a cautionary tale that would say to people who go in to a liquor store, if you have a teenage son or daughter, it might be best just not to take them with you when you do that.
I agree.
Wouldn't that just avoid? But see, no, I don't think people realize the responsibility that's put upon the staff in there to make sure that the booze doesn't fall into the hands of somebody under 19.
Well, that's an excellent point, because, you know, selling beverage alcohol is a public trust, and we have to take that seriously. We also have to take seriously the consequences of, you know, not upholding the law. So that's, you know, that is part and parcel of being a retailer of beverage alcohol.
But staff must come across this situation. In fact, I looked on the website just yesterday, and it said LCBO staff challenged, wait for the number, everybody, you mere mortals out there, 6.3 million individuals in 2011-2012 for failing to produce valid ID, appearing intoxicated, or attempting to purchase for a minor or an impaired individual. That's a huge number of refusals, isn't it?
Well, those weren't refusals. Those were challenges.
Challenges, all right.
But of those...
Well, even as challenges, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that number just really tells you that we do take this seriously.
How many of those challenges resulted in
a refusal?
A refusal of sale. Do you know?
Sure, it was over 290,000.
Oh, okay.
And so those were, you know, obviously for reasons of age, intoxication, or second-party purchase.
Or the second-party purchase.
84% of those had to do with refusals related to age and people not being able to produce ID. So, you know, it is a going concern keeping alcohol out of the hands of minors. And, you know, this is something that people need to be aware of, this whole concept of second-party purchase and the triggers. And when they go to the LCBO, if they need help getting items out to their car or getting items out to the cash, you know, we have carts, we have pull pull carts, and there are staff available to help out when needed.
So you can't say you're bringing along your teenage son to carry all the parcels.
That's right. I mean, you know.
Well, you can, but I mean.
Minors are certainly allowed in our store.
They're allowed to be in there,
that's
right?
That's right. But, yeah. You know, talking to your child about what would you like me to buy for you, or do you like this kind of vodka, or, you know, those things are triggers that our staff have been highly trained to pick up on, and it's going to be a problem when you get to the cash.
But if you'll pardon the expression, that's an elephant in the room all by itself, isn't it? The parents saying, what kind of vodka do you like?
I would agree. You know, there was a study released by CAMH, Ontario Student Drug Use and Health Survey, that said that, you know, alcohol is still the biggest drug used by underage kids. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is certainly another issue altogether. But in light of that, you know, we do take it quite seriously, and our staff will always err on the side of caution.
And if you want a good ID... the smart thing, again, would be to get the LCBO ID, the Bring Your Identification Photo Card.
Yep, that's certainly
BYID, is that what you call it?
That's right. That is certainly one.
As opposed to BYOB, is that the idea?
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So
right.
Driver's license, the Ontario Photo Card, citizenship card. There are a number of passport. There are a number of other forms of ID that are acceptable. They have to be photo ID. And anybody who's under 25 can expect to be asked to produce it.
Yeah. Photo ID is absolutely essential, though, is it not?
Absolutely.
I would think so, because, otherwise. Now, if you have a comment or a question, now that we have her on the phone here for Heather McGregor from the LCBO about some of these issues, some of this was a bit of a surprise to me, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, Heather, been going into liquor stores for quite some time now, I may say. And so I just thought other people might want to hear more about this as well.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Heather McGregor is on the line for us for the next few minutes from the LCBO, talking about, well, you may have heard some of that story we just repeated a few minutes ago. We're opening up the phone lines to see if anybody else has had that kind of a situation. Here's Anne in Keswick. Do you have a story to tell, Anne?
Yes, but it has to do with the other side of the border. I'm a Zoomer. I'm 67.
Yeah.
And my partner at the time was 13 years my junior.
Yeah.
And about 15 years ago, I played hooky from the office and went trucking with him. He drives a big rig.
Right.
And at least twice a week, they go into this little mini mart gas station or whatever it is near the, just off the free, the interstate. And I guess
in the U.S.,
and his two or three other truckers would fuel up, and I guess they put like, 750 gallons in the tanks. Anyway, I was in the little store and I was admiring some of the bottles in the cooler.
Yeah.
And I very rarely drink, and if I'm at a party, I don't even finish the one that's handed to me. But nevertheless, I took an interest in wine coolers.
Yeah.
In the case. So I bought a couple, took them to the counter, and the girl was only in her early 20s, wanted some ID.
Some ID. So at the time, you were...
In my 50s,
I guess. In your 50s, okay.
And he's like 13 years my junior, with a full beard, goes there a couple times a week, and she wouldn't sell the stuff. She wanted ID, so naturally my birth certificate isn't going to be the same as everything else after having been married, divorced, and so on.
Yeah.
He wouldn't sell it to me, so I called him in.
Yeah.
And asked him if he would pay for this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she can't do that, selling it to a third party.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
That's but, I mean, they thought you were under, what's the legal drinking age where you were? And this is in New York State, were you?
No, going to Chicago.
Oh, okay. So
and
you're
like,
in Illinois.
I'm already in my 50s, and he's like in his 40s.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so to get even, him and his three or four other truckers didn't go in there to fuel up for quite a while after that. And he figured that might be a dip in their sales, you know. But anyway, I thought I would
call. You should be proud of that story, if nothing else, shouldn't you?
But yeah, but I thought I would just let you hear this.
Yeah, all right. Ann, thanks, thanks very much for that story. Heather, it just shows that that same kind of concern exists in other places as well, even though it's odd that somebody in their 50s would be challenged about their age.
It is, but I bet she looks really great.
Yeah. Ann, you better send us a picture. We'll put it up on the website. Here is, let's see, Ted's on the line from Port Hope. Ted, you have a question for Heather.
Yes, Dale. The back in the 40s and 50s, was it not law that children were not allowed in beer stores or liquor stores?
I don't know if I could speak to that.
I think maybe I can. I've got the whitest hair in the crowd here. I think so. Those were back in the days, Heather, I don't know if you remember this, when you had to fill out a form to go to the liquor store, right? You had to fill out what you wanted, and then the clerk disappeared into the back room to pick it up.
Well, and to be clear, I mean, that's not the case today.
No, of course not.
Right.
But also, you also at that time also had to have a liquor book. You couldn't, that was your ID at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You had to buy that from the Ontario government.
Yeah.
That was back in the 40s, late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah, well, we don't have that anymore, Ted.
No, I know that.
So, I mean, certainly things have changed a lot.
Well,
they have that.
And really, you know, as I said, it's not about keeping your kids at home when you go and make a purchase at the LCBO. It's just about making sure that you know, you're not talking to them about what you're buying, and you're handling the product yourself.
Why do they have to be in the liquor store?
Well that's exactly that's, it, isn't
that's
it?
That's a whole other question. I agree, Ted.
But I mean, I think
you know, why don't they bring back the old things, like such as a liquor book, which is identification?
Yeah, well, I don't think I want to go back to filling out a form to buy a bottle of wine.
You had a liquor book.
Well, I remember filling out a form. The forms were in the rack in front of you, and you went and you wrote down a number of what you wanted after looking at the rows and rows of posted kinds of alcohol in front of you on a board, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. You didn't need a book for that.
That was before my time. I couldn't go in there. My dad could, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, Ted. I can't figure out if Ted is older than me or younger than me or grew up in a parallel universe.
Just on this issue, then. So, yeah. Part of raising the awareness and making sure that people are aware of the law, you know, is obviously informing them and keeping signage available.
Yeah.
We are going to be putting signage in our shopping carts that tell people just that, you know, if you're, you know, we want your experience to be a good one. And you know, please use the carts, use the baskets, and, you know, you don't need to worry about relying on your kids to help out or grandkids because
you don't want to be caught
in trouble.
Yeah, and you don't want to be caught in a situation as with the story that I mentioned where everything it was all innocently enough intended. It just went wrong because the clerks put one and one together and they got two.
Right. And I mean, they are the ones who have to deal with the consequences of serving a minor.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reality is that, you know, we're not trying to make things embarrassing or inconvenient. I mean, this is, you know, kids are attempting to purchase alcohol more often. They look more mature. And these are things that our staff are trained to deal with. And you know, as the retailer of beverage alcohol, we have a responsibility to keep it out of the hands of minors. And so, you know, these are some of the things that we need to contend with. It's not personal. It's the law. That's what our staff are trained in.
But incidentally, and apparently, some of us in our 50s don't look that mature, according to what's going on in the state of Illinois, if you can believe that. Here is Dominic calling on his cell phone. Dominic, do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I would like to ask your guest if she is familiar with any of the American laws, especially down in Tampa, because my wife and I are 65 years old, and we were also asked for identification before we were served a beer.
Why?
I'm asking you.
What are they? Were they suggesting you were too old to drink beer? I don't. All right, thanks, Dominic, for the. Have you ever heard of that happening in the States? That's the second time.
That would be news to me.
That would be news, wouldn't it?
Obviously, I don't know the circumstances surrounding that.
Well, let's just clear it up once and for all. At 65 or older, you're not too old to drink beer.
Well, I would think not.
No.
I certainly hope not.
No, I hope not, too. Yeah, okay. Let's hear from Ken calling from Etobicoke. Ken, do you have a thought or a question for Heather?
Yeah, good morning, folks.
Morning.
Morning.
Just to let you know that in Chicago at O'Hare Airport,
yeah,
it's automatic, it's compulsory for them to ask you your age, regardless if you look to be 110.
Really?
Yeah, because it happened about 10 years ago when we were there, and we said to the lady, come on, are you trying to get a tip or something?
Yeah.
Because I'm 81.
Yeah.
And the lady said, no, about 10 years ago, a woman was sitting at the bar, and she asked this young girl to show her ID for age, and the girl did. So then this woman complained and said, you didn't ask me my age. She complained about not being asked. So now it's compulsory for everybody, every single person at a bar at O'Hare Airport to show their ID for drinking a beer.
Well, that would be a state of Illinois regulation then.
I don't know exactly where, but that's how it is anyway, Goldhawk.
Okay, so, all right. Thanks.
I also do know back in the 60s, and we were drinking beer out here at the Blue Goose Hotel, you only had one beer per person at the table at one time.
Oh, I remember that. You couldn't
yeah.
have the. You had to
yeah.
finish off the first glass before you got a second.
Well, we had more on the floor than we had on the table.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken, very much for that. So here we are talking about LCBO rules, and we're talking about what happens apparently in the state of Illinois. Isn't that odd? Maybe there is some truth to that.
I wouldn't know. That's,
yeah.
That's intriguing, to say the least.
Yes, I would guess. Here's Maria on the line from St. Catharines. Maria, do you have a question for Heather McGregor?
Yes, I do, Gail. I'm first-time caller, so if I'm a bit nervous, I'm sorry.
Okay, carry on.
I'd like to bring this back into Ontario, not into the state.
Yes, please do that.
The Liquor Board is going to be putting liquor stores into some stores, in grocery stores, they're saying, in the next 12 months or so.
Yeah.
How do I, as a parent with three children, 16, 17, 18, 15 years old, who's doing my grocery shopping and decides to buy a couple of bottles or something, how am I going to go shopping? Am I not allowed to grocery shop and alcohol shop at the
Oh, because
time?
You'd have kids in tow and that some of them would be teenagers.
Sure, they would
yeah.
be.
Well, I mean, absolutely. So,
yeah.
Just to be clear, these are separate areas within large grocery stores. Again, same, nothing precluding you from taking your kids in there.
Yeah.
What you need to be aware of, though, is that you don't want to be talking to your kids about what you're buying. You don't want to be having them handle the product.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be giving staff a reason to believe that you're making a purchase for them.
So, in other words, you have to be super careful in that kind of situation.
Well, I don't know if super careful is the right word, but you have to be aware.
Yeah. Because the clerks have the same responsibility working in the environs of a supermarket that they would have working in a regular liquor store.
The LCBO Express outlets will be completely staffed by LCBO staff.
Yeah.
Right? So these are folks who would go through the experiential workshop and training that we give them with respect to the Check 25 program,
yeah.
with respect to second-party purchases. And they'll be educated in these areas, and they'll be the ones making the decisions and looking at the scenarios and hearing what's going on and paying attention. So
do it the same way they would in a liquor store.
I just want to make clear, and I don't know whether you said this, but these are not going to be grocery store employees staffing these outlets.
No.
They'll
be staff with the same kind of training you get
Precisely.
In the LCBO to deal with
That's
this.
Right. And yeah. So you can certainly take your kids into one of those LCBO Express outlets or into one of our regular size stores.
Yeah.
But again, it's just you need to bring with you a certain level of awareness in terms of not talking to them about the product.
That's the key.
Making sure that
yeah.
you're not giving people the impression that you're making a second-party purchase. Because, as is the case in many things in life, perception is everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I honestly feel that we should start being a little bit like the Americans. You go grocery shopping, you buy your alcohol, you buy everything. I feel as if we're being monitored by everything that we do in this country. And I think it's about time we loosen the strings a little bit. That's my opinion.
Well, it's
just in light of the discussion we're having today.
Yeah.
You know, certainly keeping the LCBO Express areas closed off from the rest of the store and staffing them with LCBO staff, and keeping the LCBO in charge of retailing beverage alcohol goes a long way to making sure that it's retailed in a socially responsible way.
Yeah, thanks, Maria, very much. Here is Victor in Creemore. Victor, do you have a question?
Yes, good morning, folks. Some 15 years ago, my son was in Los Angeles, and he went into a store to purchase some Daniel Boone, I believe. They asked for ID. They wouldn't accept his Canadian identification.
Yeah.
My question to your guest is, people from out of country, will the LCBO accept their...
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
What about that, Heather?
Government issue photo ID.
Okay, so if it's photo ID from the government of Germany, that's fine.
I, you know what, Dale? I would certainly expect that staff are well trained on exactly that.
Yeah.
In his particular case, it was a photo driver's license. They wouldn't accept it. So, in other words, okay, that's a government ID. I understand.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Victor,
very much
for that. If people don't have if we go back to the ID standards here in Ontario, if people do not have a driver's license and carry around their passport, if the passport is expired, does that mean it's not appropriate ID?
I would suggest that it does, although I would need to look into that and maybe get back to you about that, Dale.
Yeah, would you? Would you just send me a note?
There are other forms of photo ID that do not, require you to be a driver. And the Ministry of Transportation offers one as well, the Ontario Photo Card.
Yeah.
Citizenship card, all these things. So.
But in terms of scrutiny, you're under more scrutiny possibly for the passport than anything else that you have.
The fact that it's out of date may be a trigger for someone in the store. So
I
would suggest that
Can you check into that, though, and let me know later?
Absolutely.
Because I think a lot of people do carry expired passports for the purpose of identification, and the passport office will let you keep it if they punch the... punch holes in the back cover that you can have it as a form of ID.
Yeah, we definitely prefer photo ID that is current and valid. But I will look into that for you and shoot you an email so you can let your listeners know.
So don't be walking in with a citizenship card, photo ID card from Lower Slobovia or something. Don't make it tough, right?
That's right.
Make it easy. Here's Warren on the line. Warren, do you have a question?
Well, I just want to clarify something, Dale. That gentleman was mentioning about filling out a book.
Yeah.
I can remember in the 40s, my dad had a liquor permit book that he had to take to the liquor store.
Yeah, he had an actual permit. That's right.
Yeah. So you could only get so much liquor per week or whatever.
Yeah, you were rationed.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
And if you were on what they called in those days the so-called Indian list, you couldn't get any liquor at all.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
We had trouble in the beer store with people like that because, you'd look and you get the list out and there'd be hundreds of names on it. There's no way you could tell.
Yeah, you had to monitor it in the beer store too, right?
Yeah, somebody signing their name, but you don't know who it is.
Oh, good grief.
Would the Indian list come out once a week or once a month and there was 100 or 200 names on it?
Yeah.
They were useless.
Yeah. All right, Warren, thank you very much. Well, I think I prefer today to the old days, don't you, Heather?
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of that kind of retail operation?
Bright, beautiful stores, lots of people to help out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just before we go, I wanted to ask you quickly about the elephant in the room program. I find those commercials quite effective. Have you been able to benchmark that in any way to know how effective they are from your point of view?
Well, they're very effective. It's called the Deflate the Elephant campaign.
Yeah.
And it does, as you say, talk about drinking and driving being the elephant in the room. It's a topic that people don't like to discuss, especially when, you're hosting a dinner party and you suspect one of your guests is getting ready to drive.
Yeah.
We have a great website that goes with a lot of the material that you'll see in the TV commercials and the magazine ads, and it basically gives you tips and tools for starting the discussion, for talking to your guests about, maybe staying the night, getting a cab, and also how to host a responsible dinner party or party. They're very effective, and they do raise awareness. So people have visited our website. There's an app that we have available for download that has been downloaded quite successfully.
Yeah.
That has on it a maze game that people can go on to kind of challenge their guests to see if they can make it through the maze. I guess as a tool figuring out whether they could get in the car.
Well, from my point of view, nothing says don't drink and drive like an inflatable elephant appearing in your living room, right?
Well, certainly.
No.
Certainly.
Exactly.
They're very effective ads.
Yeah. Heather, thanks very much for all the information.
My pleasure, Dale. Thank you for having
me. Okay. Bye for now.
Take care.
Heather McGregor from the LCBO.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.